This is the fourth message in a series of eight entitled Gifts of the Spirit, presented at Truro Episcopal Church in Fairfax, Virginia. The title of the teaching is What About Tongues? And the scripture reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The speaker is the Reverend John W. Howe, rector of Truro Church.
Would you turn to 1 Corinthians 14? Some of you are saying, I wondered if he'd ever get to it. We've been studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and without any doubt, the gift of tongues is still the most problematic, the most controversial of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the one that's been most talked about and perhaps least understood. And I decided that it would be very important to set a context before we came to discussing the gift of tongues. And I hope that we've done that by this point. If you've been following the series thus far, we've sketched a background. And it seems to me that 1 Corinthians 14, in the light of what has been said thus far, is a pretty complete brief on the subject. You need to understand that most of 1 Corinthians, and especially this chapter, was written to correct abuses in the church in Corinth. It was not simply an unimpassioned sort of philosophical discussion of the subject. The gifts of the Spirit were widely manifest in the church in Corinth, and yet, for all of the gifts, it was a very carnal church. And people were seeking a kind of a spiritual high. They were jealous of each other's gifts. They were taking pride in their own gifts. They were exercising a kind of a spiritual one-upsmanship. So if I have the gift of tongues and you don't, say, I look down on you, you're nobody. And that problem is with us today. And we have had great division over the gift of tongues in particular. One of the things that I hope I've established in the last several weeks is that God doesn't make any distinction and the New Testament doesn't make any distinction between, quote, supernatural gifts and natural gifts. The things that we would take sort of almost for granted, like a gift of administration. You know, you say, well, people are administrators out there in the secular world. That may be so, but God gives a gift of administration to some, and you better believe that Billy Hutchison is a great gift as an administrator. And there's no difference between a gift that has certain parallels in the secular world, kind of everyday things, and things like tongues in the kingdom of God. If they're from the Holy Spirit, they are all supernatural. They are all subject to the same abuses, but they all have the same kind of general purpose as they're used rightly. So I want to come, first of all, and just deal with the kind of widespread teaching that you'll still get in some circles that tongues are not for today. I trust that few among us would still believe that, but that is based in large part on the last paragraph of 1 Corinthians 13. And a very strange interpretation of one verse in particular. It says, our knowledge is imperfect in verse 9, our prophecy is imperfect, but when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. Then it goes on, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, and so on. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. The imperfect will pass away when the perfect comes. In one branch of teaching that's come down to us is that tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit passed away when the perfect came. What could be more perfect, it is said, than the Word of God? When the New Testament was completed, that was the witness of the apostles. These gifts were for the apostolic age when the apostles died off and the perfect Word of God was given to us for all time. These imperfect gifts of the Holy Spirit passed away. And you'll find that teaching very widely held even today. You find it in the Scofield Bible, if you happen to have that, as a sort of dispensational view of things. I trust you see that the problem with that is that if that applies to tongues, why doesn't it apply to everything else as well? You see. Does the gift of teaching pass away? The gift of counseling, the gift of exhortation, the gift of hospitality, the gift of helps, the gift of administration, do all those pass away? The gift of pastoring, the gift of evangelism, do all those pass away? You see, it's too selective. It's too little about one of the gifts. All of the gifts are for today. Okay, all of the gifts are for today. When the perfect comes, that means when the Lord Jesus comes back and fully redeems his creation, they'll pass away not because they're no longer needed, but because they're subsumed under greater glory. Our knowledge, which is imperfect, will pass away. That doesn't mean we'll have no knowledge. It means our knowledge will then become complete. Do you follow what I'm saying? So let's just lay that one to rest. Tongues are for today. And as we move into the 14th chapter, it says in verse 39, "So my brethren, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But all things should be done decently and in order." Tongues have two major purposes. The gift of tongues has two major purposes. The first is to glorify God. That's the first purpose of all the gifts. It's the first purpose of this gift, to glorify God. It's a vehicle of praise, a vehicle of worship. I don't know how many of you can bear witness to this, but I find often that when I want to praise God, I try to praise God in English, and I pretty quickly run out of language. You know, after you've said the Te Deum, where do you go? You know, we praise thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we magnify thee, we praise thee for thy great glory. And what do you say after that? When God gives the gift of tongues and they're used in praising of him, you've got an endless resource. God working through you, anointing your tongue to go on praising him. It says in Romans also that it becomes a vehicle of intercession in exactly the same way. Sometimes you're praying for somebody, and again, you don't know what to pray. You run out of prayer, right? The Holy Spirit himself can pray through us as we allow him to. In Romans, it says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." Tongues takes those sighs too deep for words and makes them audible. So as a vehicle of praise and a vehicle of intercession, it adds to what would otherwise be the limits of our mind. Paul says, "I will pray with my mind and I'll pray with my spirit," speaking in a tongue as a vehicle of prayer. This is the principal purpose, then, I would say, to speak to God. Verse 2, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit." However, secondly, they also serve to edify the church. If they're combined with the gift of interpretation. It's interesting. You often hear people say tongues is the least of the gifts. Have you heard that? Can anybody give me the verse that says that? You can't find it. At least I can't find it. There is no such statement that tongues is the least of the gifts. It does seem to imply that tongues by itself has a limited use. As we've just seen, you're speaking to God. Nobody else understands you, but you're speaking to God. You're blessing God and you're edifying yourself, but it's not helping anybody else unless it's combined with interpretation. But look what happens when it's combined with interpretation. It says, when it's combined with interpretation, it becomes the equivalent of prophecy. It says, verse 4, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified." So when they're speaking in tongues coupled to the gift of interpretation, it becomes a vehicle not just of speaking to man, not just of speaking to God, but of speaking to men. And we've experienced that. Many of you have been present when that's happened here. Somebody has spoken out in a tongue, and we've waited, and someone else has had the interpretation. And there's a marvelous example, a kind of a living model of the way in which the gifts complement each other. The tongues doesn't stand by itself in that context, but it needs another gift, another operation of the Holy Spirit, and when they operate together, it becomes a vehicle of edifying the church. As a matter of fact, it goes on to say that you, if you speak in tongues, should be praying for the gift of interpretation. Did you know that? Look down a little bit, verse 13. Therefore, he who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. So if God has gifted you with the gift of tongues, pray also that he might gift you with the gift of interpretation. Somebody asked a couple of weeks ago, is it legitimate for somebody to give a message in tongues and to be the one who interprets that message? Of course it is. But it's even more lovely when somebody else does it. When Jackie Pullinger visited here a couple of years ago, she came as the house guest of Ed and Helen Quick. And she said to Ed that afternoon, she said, Ed, you know, you really ought to be praying that if somebody gives a message in tongues, that God would give you the interpretation. So Ed was praying all afternoon, God, if somebody speaks in tongues, give me the interpretation. And Jackie came up to share with us that evening. I've never seen anybody do this before or since. Those of you who were here will remember, she came up to the microphone. The first thing that came out of her mouth was, I have a message in tongues. Would you please pray that God will give the interpretation? And launched into it. Guess who got the interpretation? That was a brand new experience for Ed, and it was a very beautiful thing. So, I want to make several comments about this gift, and they're all right out of this chapter. Number one, in public use, we're commanded not to speak in tongues unless there is interpretation. Verse 28. He says, if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silence in church and speak to himself and to God. We are to expect that if we're moving in the Spirit and God moves upon somebody to offer a message in tongues, that he's going to complement that with a message in interpretation. Now, again, like anything else, you can quench the Spirit. You could be the one that God is giving the interpretation to, and you can sit on it. And some of you have done that. And so the person who spoke in the tongue was not out of order. You were. We should expect that if we're moving in the Spirit and God gives the gift of a tongue in the midst of the meeting, he's going to give the interpretation. And we ought not to proceed without it. So that's why we wait at that point. If somebody does speak in tongues, we believe that God will give that interpretation. Secondly, we're told in the preceding verse not to have more than a couple of people speak in tongues in a given meeting. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. Thirdly, I've already said, we're to ask God for the gift of interpretation. Without interpretation, God is blessed and the speaker is blessed, but with it, the church is blessed as well. This makes sense of an otherwise very difficult verse, verse 22. Thus, Paul says, tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. The problem with that, just listen as he goes on. It almost sounds like he does a flip-flop. If therefore the whole church assembles and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Which is it? Is prophecy for believers or for unbelievers, according to that passage? Which is it? You tell me. Is anybody here tonight? It says, prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for believers. And then he turns right around and says, if an unbeliever enters and he hears you prophesying, he's going to fall on his face and worship God. I've seen that happen. There are lots of things that happen in meetings like this that I'm not at liberty to, you know, to discuss in detail with names. I know of one instance when a fellow came in off the street and heard a prophecy being given, and it was absolutely directed to him. He didn't even know what kind of a meeting he was coming into. It was directed right between the eyes, and he gave his life to Christ that night. Okay? Now, what do you make of verse 22? I'd like to paraphrase it this way. Tongues are a sign of the Holy Spirit, but apart from interpretation, they will not produce belief, but unbelief. Whereas prophecy is a sign that will not produce unbelief, but belief. And that makes it perfectly consistent, doesn't it? So the use of this gift is twofold. One, to bless God, to praise God, to intercede to God, to speak to God. It's a vehicle over and above. It's another channel besides praying and praising with my mind. It opens up a channel of my spirit that's not limited to my ability to put words together. Speaking to God. Secondly, when coupled with the gift of interpretation, it becomes a vehicle of exhortation and blessing, speaking to men. Now, I think I'd like to say that there is a kind of a third thing as well. It seems to me that tongues are often, for many people, a kind of a training ground for some of the other gifts of the Spirit. That it's not absolutely a prerequisite, but I know very few people who have ever dared to prophesy openly in a meeting who didn't previously speak in tongues. I do know some, but very few. It seems that as you begin to exercise the gift of tongues, you're given an experience that helps you to distinguish between that which is of me and that which is of the Holy Spirit. I'll bet you that every single one of you, whether you've ever spoken in tongues or not, every single one of you have had experiences when you felt like you maybe ought to say something to somebody. Maybe it's from God, okay? But you're not sure, right? Maybe it was in a public meeting or maybe it was one-on-one. You had a sense, I ought to say that, you know, there's a strong word and I sense this is from God, but what if I'm wrong? Okay? What if I'm wrong? And so you hold back. One of the things that tongues helps you to do is to distinguish between that which is just my own gut reaction and that which is the prompting of God. And so I commend this gift to you. That as you practice it, as you use it, as you begin to really make it part of your life, I think it does heighten a certain spiritual sensitivity. And in that sense, it may be a kind of a training ground for moving on into some of the other gifts and being led of the Spirit in that way. How to begin? How to begin? So many of you, of course, already have begun long ago, and you're much further than I. But for those who haven't, how to begin? If God is putting this desire on your heart to speak in another language, ask Him for that gift. It's just that simple. We were saying last week that God gives good things to those who ask Him. Do you believe that? He gives good things to those who ask Him. Now, if you want it for those Corinthian motives, God may very well not give it. See, if you think that unless you get this gift, you're never going to be part of the inner ring, see, and you want to be part of the inner ring, if that's just kind of spiritual jealousy, God may very well not be interested at this point. But if you understand what it's for and your motives are to praise God and to bless His people, you want it for the right reasons, not for the wrong ones, ask Him for the gift. Lord, would you give me the gift of tongues? Do you know that I've seen prep school kids who never heard any teaching on this, never went into any meeting where it was present, who read about it in the scripture, said, wow, that's kind of neat. God, would you give me that? And He gave it. No laying on of hands, no big emotional meeting, nobody else there. God, would you give me that? And he gave it. I've known people, there are people in this congregation who never ever knew what it was, woke up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues, thought they were going crazy. There are people here. They may be here right here. They're certainly in the congregation. It's not that big a thing. It's a little thing. It's a wonderful little thing. Part of the problem is we've made a great big deal out of it. Okay? Don't be surprised if when you ask God, you get just a syllable, just a word, or just a very brief phrase. That's the way most people learn to talk. Now, I know very few people who the first time they ever spoke came out with a Gettysburg Address. You know? And most things are like that. God gives a little bit of a gift and you have to exercise it and be faithful with it and use it and he'll give more, right? And that's true of all the other gifts. If he gives you a phrase, use that phrase. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and use that little phrase and watch him begin to turn it into a language for you. What will invariably happen, I absolutely promise you this, is that Satan is going to come along and try to convince you, A, that you're making it up, B, that it's nonsense, C, that it's worthless. God doesn't give worthless gifts. You're not making it up. Not if you've asked God to give a gift. I would pray this way. I would say, Lord, I don't want anything that is not of you. First of all, would you put a hedge of thorns around me that nothing alien would come into this process now? Lord, I'm turning to you and I'm asking you, if it would please you to give me this gift, that I might the more adequately praise you and more adequately intercede for others, then I ask you to give me the gift of tongues. My mouth, my tongue are available to you. And then there's one secret. You know what it is? They opened their mouths as he gave utterance. Book of Acts, chapter 2. People have gone on asking, begging, crying, pleading, agonizing for years, waiting for God to zap them. He very seldom does that. Sometimes, but it's the exception to the rule. They opened their mouths as he gave them utterance. What does that mean? That means they began to speak. Only they didn't speak in their own native language. They just opened their mouths and began to praise God and allowed him to form something new on their tongues. And it's just that simple. Sometimes it's very, very helpful to have somebody pray for you. Very helpful to have somebody lay hands on you. That can be a vehicle in which God blesses you and helps you to be released, but it's not necessary. God can do it all by himself. He's capable of that. But you've got to open your mouth. Last summer we were with Gerard Mpango. Some of you heard me say this. We recognized that he needed to be able to pray in the Spirit for his church in the middle of Tanzania. I said, Gerard, do you ever speak in tongues? He said, no, I've asked God for it for years. I said, well, you're going to get it right now. He said, what, what? I said, tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to sing to God for a few moments. Karen and I are going to sing his praises in tongues, and then I want you to join us. No fear speaking Swahili. And we did just that. We sang God's praises in the Spirit for it couldn't have been more than a minute. I said, Gerard, go ahead. And out of his mouth came this lovely, lovely language. And it was virtually full-blown. And he went on for a couple of minutes and suddenly stopped and he said, what was that? I said, you know what that is. Just that easily. Just that easily. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. God isn't going to come in and manipulate you. Some people have the fear that something's going to come and take them over. That's the work of the enemy. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Tongues is very much under your control, just as prophecy is. It says in this same paragraph, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God gives an urging to prophecy, to prophesy, but you decide whether or not you're going to obey it. And God may prompt you to speak in tongues, but he doesn't manipulate you. Nothing's going to come in and take over. Okay. You open your mouth in a spirit of praise and allow him to form the words. And let it be a blessing. Let it be a blessing. And don't worry if it doesn't come immediately, and don't worry if it doesn't come. Okay? He may have a different gifts for different Christians. But I suspect that if your motives are right, and you're seeking to please the Father, if you ask him, he'll give it to you. Let's pray together. Father, there are undoubtedly those among us who would like you to bless them in this way, who would like you to gift them in this way. We pray with them and for them. Lord, that you'd form a new language on their lips, that you would release the Spirit within them and enable them to pray and praise and sing in the Spirit in a new way. Not because it'll make them superior Christians, but because it may make them more useful vessels for you. Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would visit these your people with this your good gift right now. Father, give to us increasing freedom in the things of the Spirit. Cause us to walk in wholeness and in health. Cause us to walk under the anointing of your Spirit. And in particular, Lord, bless our tongues to bless you. For Jesus' sake.